We welcome you to this week's service from Morrisville United Methodist Church. The exercise of following Jesus can be a hard one at times. Pastor Glass elaborates on how the real mission is, much like the disciples, to go, serve, and remain faithful, regardless of the outcome. We will now join Pastor Glass with this week's sermon entitled Marching Orders.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome
to Morrisville United Methodist Church. My name is Beth Glass. I'm the pastor here, and we are absolutely delighted that you are joining us for worship today, whether you are here in person or you are joining us online. I pray everybody will find this to be a warm and welcoming experience that draws us closer to God and closer to one another. If you're new to our church family, I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you. And if you are joining us in person, I would also draw your attention to the visitor cards that you can find in the pew racks. If you'd like to fill out one of the cards and provide whatever information you're comfortable sharing, we'd be grateful for that as it gives us a chance to get to know you a little bit better. If you're new to our church family and you're joining us online, again, we welcome you. And we invite you to take a minute to introduce yourself to us. You can send an email to the church office and let us know a little bit about who you are or where you're joining in from. Our office email address is morrisvilleumc@verizon.net. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our church, and I do encourage you to follow us on Facebook or to visit our church website so you can stay up to date with upcoming events and activities.
Good morning. The reading today is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, and at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Melinda.
And now, today's message.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 35. And today I'm actually going to be reading through the 23rd verse of chapter 10. The lectionary gave us two options for the scripture today, a briefer portion and a longer one, and I'm going with the longer one this time. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to the Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off from your feet as you leave that town or that house. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Sibling will betray sibling to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have finished going through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, please. So I do want to welcome all of you again, and I thank you for joining us for worship today, whether you are here in person or joining us online. And I pray every one of us will find something in this time together that allows us to follow Jesus a little more closely in the coming week. Yesterday was the second Saturday for our summer meal program. And I have to tell you, I'm very proud of our church and all that we do to help feed children in our community. But I will also admit that there are times when I can get discouraged by that same program. We have 21 students signed up for our summer program, which is great. But only 12 of them came this weekend. And sometimes that feels a little discouraging, right? Sometimes when the numbers don't add up, it can feel a little frustrating. And then I am confronted by the gospel lesson for today. Because when Jesus sends out his disciples in Matthew's gospel, he never promises them impressive results, right? He never tells them that they will fill every room and win every crowd or change every heart. Instead, he calls them to go and to serve and to remain faithful regardless of the outcome. That's a message I needed to hear, and maybe it's one we all can benefit from hearing once in a while. And so that's what we're going to be looking at in today's sermon entitled Marching Orders. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. So it can be easy to become discouraged when we feel like we're not making a huge impact. It is not a surprise to you that we are a smaller congregation. And sometimes as a smaller congregation, we feel like we get overlooked by the conference or by the district superintendent. Maybe the powers that be aren't paying a whole lot of attention to us. And I suppose in some ways it may be true that we don't receive all of the attention that some of the larger congregations do. But today I want to point out to you that the health of a congregation is not measured by things like the number of members that you have, or your average weekly attendance, or the size of your church staff. Those things might tell you if a church is successful. They do not tell you if a church is faithful. In the gospel lesson, Jesus gave his followers their marching orders and warned them that faithfulness and success do not always go hand in hand. Sometimes, as Jesus warned them, if you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, you will not get rewarded in the eyes of the world. Right? Sometimes, as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, people don't understand you. Sometimes they don't want to be around you. Jesus says that parents and children will turn against each other because somebody is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, and sometimes being a faithful disciple can get you run out of town. I say those things because in a world that is very concerned with success, I think it's important for us to remember that as a church, we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. God will decide whether or not there is numerical growth in a church, and God will decide whether or not a church appears successful. It's not our job to worry about things like that. Our job is simply to be a faithful church, to reach out to every person that we can and share with them the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is being faithful. And that faithfulness is what is pleasing to God. Now, it sounds good when we say it in church, right? But living it out can be harder, because all around us we are taught to measure our worth by our success and by our results. We want to know if our efforts are paying off. We want proof that what we are doing really matters. And I want to share with you a story that I heard several years ago that I think captures that struggle better than anything else I know. The kids were 5 or 6 years old, and they were playing the game seriously. Two teams, complete with their uniforms and parents standing on the sidelines cheering, and the teams were pretty evenly matched, at least at the beginning of the game. Nobody scored, and the kids, though very enthusiastic, were not especially skilled. They would trip over their own feet. They stumbled over the ball. They kicked the ball and missed it, but they didn't seem to care. They were having a great time. But then the game took a significant turn, because one of the coaches, the coach of the blue team, took out his starting players so that he could allow the other members of the team to play. The only starting player that he kept in was Scotty, who was serving as the goalie. The coach for the gold team left all of his best players in the game. You can imagine what happened, right? Scotty was standing in the goal, and he was swarmed by 3 or 4 other players. He was a really good athlete, and he tried really hard, but it was him against 3 or 4 others, and when they started kicking the ball, he couldn't stop it. And they scored 1, then 2, and then 3 goals in rapid succession. When the 4th goal was scored, Scotty was overcome. He fell down to his knees, and he put his fists over his eyes, and he started to cry. His father saw it too. And when Scotty fell to his knees, his father started out on the field. You could tell he had just come from work because he was still in his suit and tie. And his wife grabbed his arm and said, "Jim, don't, because you'll embarrass him." But he shrugged her off and he ran onto the field, suit and tie and dress shoes and all. And he picked up his little boy and hugged him. And he carried Scotty off the field, and when he got to the sidelines, you could hear the dad talking to his son, saying, "Scotty, I am so proud of you. You were great out there, and I want everybody to know that you are my son." "Daddy, I couldn't stop them. I tried, and they scored on me." "Scotty, it doesn't matter how many times they scored. You are my son, and I am proud of you, and I want you to go back out there and finish the game. I know you want to quit, but don't. And son, you're going to get scored on again. But that doesn't matter. Go on out there now. And with his father's encouragement, Scotty finished the game. Sometimes as disciples of Jesus Christ, we feel like Scotty, standing alone in front of the goal. And we do our best and we work hard, we stay faithful, and yet it seems as though the losses pile up. And that is exactly why Jesus' marching orders, his words in today's gospel, are so important. Jesus never tells us that faithfulness will always look successful. He simply calls us to keep showing up, to keep serving, and to keep trusting God with results. To hang in there and stick it out no matter what. Those are our marching orders. And we can do that because we know that win or lose, at the end of the game, God comes along and scoops us up and takes us in his arms and says to us, "You are my son or my daughter, and I love you no matter what." So if we feed one child or 21 children at our feeding program, what matters is that we are being faithful and showing up. And even if it is just one child, it makes a difference for that one, doesn't it? Our youth are talking about offering vacation Bible school this year, and if we have 20 students show up, or if we have 2 students show up for vacation Bible, the important thing is that we are showing up and staying faithful. And even if it is only 2 children, for those 2, it will make a difference. Jesus never told his disciples to count the crowds. He just told them to go. He never told them that the results would be guaranteed. He just told them to be faithful. And the same marching orders have been given to us. So let's keep serving. Let's keep loving. Let's keep showing up. And whether we reach one person or 100, our calling remains the same: to be faithful to the one who first proved faithful to us. And one day, when the work is done, we will hear the only words that truly matter: "Well done, good and faithful servant." May the God who loves us help us to be faithful following those marching orders. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, thank you for your word and for the calling you have placed on our lives. As we prepare to leave here today, help us to faithfully follow your marching orders, to love you, to serve others, to share the hope of Christ, and to walk in obedience to your will. Give us courage when we face challenges, wisdom in our decisions, and hearts that reflect your grace. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to be faithful disciples and witnesses wherever you send us. And may our lives bring glory to you and point others to your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. I invite you to join me in affirming our faith as we join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We know that all that we have has come to us as a gift from God, and it is in thanksgiving for the many gifts that we have received that we take this time to show our gratitude by offering up God's tithes
and our offerings. If you do choose to support the church financially, we thank you for your generosity. If you're worshiping in person and you brought an offering with you, you may place it in the plate on the altar or in the jar in the narthex. And whether you're in person or online, there's also an opportunity for electronic giving if you choose to do that. And again, we thank you for your generous support.
I send you out as those who will be faithful. And I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's service. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC. If you'd like to support Mooresville United Methodist Church financially, there are a variety of ways. You can give in person, online at www.easytithe/MooresvilleUMC, or by texting donate to 540-300-1616. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at www.mooresvilleumc.org. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.